This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening, you are listening to Love Sport Radio. It is Friday, it is our fan show special, and now it is a time, as you've probably gathered from the music, to welcome in the boys from Leeds United. John McKenzie of All Stats, aren't we? Hello, John.
Hello, I've just managed to sort out my equipment just in time.
Minor headphone failure before we came on
consummate
air.
Consummate professional.
Absolutely. Joined by Daniel Maroney today. How are you, Daniel?
Hey, not too bad, Jeff.
Good, Daniel Maroney. What a great name. When I first saw that, I thought Dermot Mulroney. Do you know who that is?
No.
I don't know.
It's an actor. Yeah. It's been in My Best Friend's Wedding. Seen that film? No?
No.
That's an old film now.
Episode of Friends he was in once as Rachel's love interest. There we go.
Oh, yeah. I think I know
Do you know
him,
what I mean?
Actually,
Bought her the scarf.
Yeah.
Late doors.
Was he really bland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, incredibly so. But not, I would imagine a very nice guy. Anyway, you are not Dermot Mulroney. You are Daniel Maroney. Completely different. Yeah. Chaps, there is plenty to discuss, plenty to dissect. Of course, that 100th anniversary victory over Birmingham and the draw against Preston in midweek as well. Before we get onto it, there is a game going on in the Premier League at the moment. Southampton are hosting Leicester City. It is 0-0 as things stand, about 4 minutes gone, and pretty much next to nothing has happened, apart from the fact that the rain is teeming down at St Mary's and the wind is blowing quite significantly. Brendan Rodgers, crikey, his hair's going to get messed up, isn't it? Jeepers. Gents, just quickly, actually, I know I said, shh, Premier League, because there is a thing when you are with a Football League club that there's this resentment towards the Premier League, right? You kind of get that throughout the three tiers of the Football League. However, the goal, right? I've always wondered about this. The goal is to get to the Premier League. Leeds United want to win the championship and get out of the championship into the Premier League. So when that happens, do you then like the Premier League? I'm not saying that you both dislike it, but do you know what I mean? That feeling towards it is a bit, there is an ill feeling, shall we say.
I think you have a love-hate relationship with whatever league you're in, right? And it's like you can take the mickey out of your siblings, right? Because they're your siblings. But as soon as someone else does it, you get a little bit protective of it. I feel the same way about the Championship, to be honest. If someone says anything bad about the Championship, I'm like, it's not that bad a league. But yeah, I think the goal is to go into the Premier League. I don't know. We've talked about this before, I think, that, you know, there are cons as well. There's certain things that you do get when you're a fan of a Championship club that you do lose as soon as you move up a division. So I think a lot of Leeds fans will be quite surprised how different the promised land is from what they expect it to be.
Yeah, agree with that, Daniel?
Yeah, I know a lot less about the Premier League, to be honest, than the Championship.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently at Spurs' new stadium, which I've not been to, by the way, you can order pizzas and, like, Thai food. They're there, like, people are there choosing their toppings for a pizza. That is not football.
It's the prawn sandwich brigade.
Yeah, what has happened to football there, I tell you what. However, it had to be him, gents. It had to be him, the Yorkshire Pirlo, didn't it? Last week, we're not going to dwell too much on the 100th anniversary thing because we did that last week and I know, John, you're probably very much over it by now. But another tight game, but a win.
Yeah, it's a weird one because we've come away from these two games this week with 4 points, which, I mean, I know it's not what everyone wants, but 4 points, and for, especially playing away at Preston, who are a very decent side. I think it's one of those things where you look back on it and you think, actually, maybe we were a little bit over hasty with our depressing, I guess, assessments of the game. Yes, we probably deserved, we did enough to win both games, but at the same time, you know, we're not going to win them all, and I'd rather take a late draw than have taken the loss as well. So there were some positives there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Daniel?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Win at home, draw away. That's the kind of formula.
It's easy.
The cliche.
Yeah. Nice and easily done. John, I owe you a huge apology.
Do you?
I've not started with the opening stat, mate.
Oh, yeah.
What an absolute disgrace I am. Please, John McKenzie, please can we start the Leeds show with the opening stat?
So, yeah, this stat, I guess, does relate to what we've been saying. But Leeds haven't won a game in which we've conceded a goal since the opening day of the season. And that was against Bristol City, and we were 3-0 up already. Tuesday was the first time we've taken any points from a game in which we've gone behind. So, yeah, that's why I think I'm a little bit more positive about the Preston result than perhaps some people have been. But again, it comes down, we're going to have to talk about this, so we might as well get out of the way, but it comes down to Patrick Bamford missing a few sitters.
We're 7 minutes in, mate.
And Eddie Nketiah scoring the equaliser, so that set up the narrative perfectly.
Okay, well, let's get into that then, because Marcelo Bielsa has already said, I believe, that Patrick Bamford is going to be starting tomorrow. What's your view on this, Daniel? I feel like it's a rite of passage now. If you're going to be on the Leeds United fan show on Last Sport, you have to talk about Bamford and Nketiah.
Yeah, it's getting a bit tiresome, isn't it? The kind of, I'm not a Bamford hater. I do think he contributes a lot in different phases of play, but you do get to a tipping point, I think, and I think a lot of the fans are getting to this point where Nketiah is being more productive in the key area, which is scoring goals. And you know, we set up as a team to put pressure on teams and try and control a lot of the time. And Bamford's good at contributing, but we have a lot of other players that can do that. And there's only one who seems to be up front anyway, who's scoring, and that's Nketiah at the moment. So, I'm on the fence, but I think Bielsa's word is gospel at the moment. So,
fair enough. And in terms of the goal itself, he seemed like he was in the air for an eternity. Nketiah, he's only a little lad. Great header.
Yeah, do you think so? I don't know.
Do you not think?
Well, I don't know. If it was intentional, I think he's done well. I just
surely it was intentional. I mean,
he was trying to head it, obviously. But whether or not he was going to,
he did all he could do in that situation, right?
I don't know. Having not been in that situation, it did seem to me as though he jumped a little bit early and then sort of had to wait for the ball to come to him. He did well from where he was, but you'd have to see a replay from the side, I think, to really judge it. But there was part of me that kind of thought, you know, he's done well to get his head on it, and it's sort of looped in. I don't know whether or not he was trying to lob everyone. I think he was probably just going to try and do a standard header, and it sort of went in. But obviously, I would get crucified for saying that on the radio. So I would never, give that.
You've got to take what you can get, right? I mean, you've got to be happy with it.
Yeah, look, my position on the Bamford and Nketiah thing is that actually I think people seem to think that the gap between them is so obvious. I think that's where the frustration is coming from, because I think all Leeds fans look at it and think, how on earth can Marcelo Bielsa not think that Nketiah is worth playing? It's just so obvious. And I just don't think that the gap between them is as big as everyone thinks. I think, yeah, Nketiah is a good finisher. Nketiah does come on during games, which changes things for a start. But you know, there's all kinds of things that have to be taken into account there. Nketiah's goals have been okay. None of them have been particularly stunning, which is, again, a goal is a goal, right? It doesn't matter so much. But they have been put on plates for him, and people say, well, you know, that's Nketiah. His movement is very good. But I think Bamford's movement is good as well. So there's a sense for me in which I think Bamford's obviously underperforming at the moment. Nketiah's obviously overperforming at the moment. And there's nothing to say that those two things won't change. So if you switch one for the other and that overperformance and underperformance switches around, you've got the same problem again from the other side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, listen, we've got plenty to rattle through. So we're going to finish up the reflection from the weekend. And I just want to finish it on where we started it last week, to be fair. There has been a goal before I get on to that. A goal for Leicester City. Ben Chilwell putting the visitors up at St Mary's. Southampton 0, Leicester City 1. They look good, Leicester City, this season. Absolutely. Now, before we move on, I just want to finish on the 100 years anniversary and draw a line under it. But it was quite a celebration last weekend, wasn't it? It was great to see all those images of all those different players. And John, in particular, you mentioned Howard Wilkinson and how he sort of almost had distanced himself a bit from the club. So to see him there and the reception that he got from the fans was great.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to have that tradition and history, and it's nice to be able to celebrate it. We said last week, you know, there is always going to be a sort of PR element to it. But I think the thing that really frustrates me is the fact that we've had 100 years of history and I couldn't watch the game because it was on during the Saturday blackout. So, you know, it's great being able to celebrate 100 years, but it would be great if in the year of our Lord 2019 we could actually just watch the games on TV. But maybe that's me being a bit too picky.
Actually, there's been some more news as well this week, hasn't there? A further two games scheduled for TV, Leeds United, this season. So it must be so difficult as a fan, isn't it, when this happens? When you support a club like Leeds, and I know the chants went round that were sort of dampened by the Sky Sports like noise monitors, I think, weren't they, last season? Very, very difficult, of course, as a travelling fan and a home fan to watch your team at normal at 3 p.m. on a Saturday. Anyway, we move on. Next up, we're going to be speaking to Joe Urquhart of the Yorkshire Evening Post.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
This is the Leeds United fan show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, here with John McKenzie from All Stats, aren't we? As always, joined by Daniel Moroney as well. Gents, before we speak to Joe Urquhart from the Yorkshire Evening Post, we're going to quickly just talk about a story today that's come out from Eunan Okane, Leeds United midfielder, current midfielder, of course, who's spoken about the fact he was told basically he didn't have any future at the club. He said, "We never had a conversation. He gets on with his business and I get on with mine." Said it was very blunt. Basically, he's talking about Marcelo Bielsa. And it's quite interesting because he's currently still at the club, right? So to say these comments, you're effectively, I know he's struggled with injury and he may not play for Leeds again, but that pretty much puts a line under it.
I think so, but I think he's probably not going to play. I mean, he could even not be playing professional football again. It depends how his injury is. He had a really bad double leg break, and I think that probably changes his attitude to the way that he's going to deal with things.
Excellent. Well, Joe Urquhart is on the line now from the Yorkshire Evening Post. Joe, how are you doing?
Good evening, I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, we're going to get through some general Leeds chat. We've discussed the games at the weekend. What's your take? Actually, I'm going to start it and get it out of the way because I said to Daniel earlier, it's his first time that I've actually worked with him. Rite of passage for being on the Leeds United fan show. Bamford and Ketia, what's your call?
Flip a coin.
That's easiest, isn't it?
How long have you got? Bielsa took an hour to discuss this yesterday, so I guess if you want to dedicate a whole show to it, you possibly could do. I think obviously Nketiah is making a big impact off the bench, but Bielsa's reasoning at the moment is that he believes Bamford does more for the team. He'll maybe do the unselfish work, that is what you need to do in the Bielsa team. So I guess that is the reason why Bamford's starting. Obviously, it would be great in an ideal world. Bamford will be scoring every week, but unfortunately, he just seems to be fluffing his chances at the moment. And we know from his history, you know, he's a very streaky player, a very confident player. And I think once he gets one, you know, you'll probably see two or three follow quite quickly.
Hey Joe, it's John. I just want to hear what your assessment of Leeds this season has been. I think we're getting to a point now where the season's old enough for us to be able to make some sort of assessment about how Leeds are. How are you feeling? Obviously, Leeds have been playing well, but they've had this scoring inefficiency. So how's it been for you from the press box?
To be honest, I don't see too much difference from last year. Obviously, you can take out personnel. You know, Ben White's come in and done really well. Obviously, the Jansen there last year, Ruth's gone. You've got Nketiah there. Obviously, Bielsa decided to go with Bamford this year. But I don't think I still think they're a great team. But the thing with Bielsa's team for the last 18 months has been this Achilles heel of not scoring. And not putting teams to bed. I mean, I think the expectation level is maybe what's causing a lot of anxiety in the fan base, because obviously this time last year, a lot of people were maybe thinking, "Core, I can't believe, you know, we're top of the league or in the top two." Whereas this year, I guess with the expectation level, what happens, you know, at Derby, at home in the playoffs, I think there's maybe that added layer of Leeds should be 10 points clear by now. But as we know, you know, the Championship's so unpredictable. I'm not sure of the midweek results, but not many at the top end won. So, you know, I think it's a grind, and it's just a case of trying to solve this 18-month problem, really, that Leeds have had for so long. And Nketiah has obviously been brought in to try and help that. And I think for me, the biggest difference is you look at the bench this year compared to last year. You know, you had Jamal Blackman, obviously, he was going to come in, broke his leg. But Lewis Baker, who went back in January, Izzy Brown, he didn't maybe make as much an impact as everyone thought he would do from Chelsea. You look there and you've got Nketiah coming on and making a difference when he needs to. So I guess that's maybe one difference you could tell. But in terms of style of play, very, very similar and very much the same problems.
Just following on from that, I spoke to Phil Hay a couple of weeks ago, interviewed him, and it's interesting to hear from him because he obviously isn't a Leeds fan per se, and he said that he was going through a bit of he was feeling a little bit Groundhog Day-ish about watching Leeds at the moment. It feels as though every game is very similar, and I wondered whether or not you had anything to add to that sort of experience of watching Leeds week in, week out.
Yeah, it does feel very much, especially maybe Elland Road this season, it does feel very much like you're turning up and watching the same game. You know, you're watching them miss countless chances, and then either it gets to the last 20 minutes and they're either trailing because they've conceded from a set piece, or they're switched off at the back for 2 seconds, or, you know, so I understand that kind of feeling. I think there is a bit of frustration because it does feel like maybe they've not solved the issues, and obviously this has been a problem for near enough a year now. So I can get that train of thought. I think, you know, I think if you are watching it and you are watching it from the stands as well, it can be very frustrating to see sort of the same, it's almost that same old thing, isn't it? Do the same thing and you look a bit crazier. But that, I guess that's Bielsa. That is the coach you're employing. You stick to those methods and you hope it pays off.
Hi, Joe. It's Daniel.
Hello.
So just a bit of a change of pace. I believe you were following the under-23s quite a lot last season.
Yes.
Do you think the answer is in the under-23s? Do you think we should do off with Bamford and Nketiah and Edmondson should come in and score the 20 goals that will fire us to the Premier League?
Well, that would be a very drastic measure, I think. But, I mean, there is a serious point to be made in that Bielsa is making use of his, you know, the development squad in ways that maybe we've not seen for a while at Leeds because of, obviously, what's happened with previous ownership and that the academy was sort of left to rot and ruin for a couple of years. Yeah. But, I mean, the under-23 side are producing a lot of good talent, you know, come through. Thor Patch has always sort of had that conveyor belt. So there is people coming through. Obviously, Jack Clark will be maybe a bit more known to people, but there's a lot in there. Victor Orta has recruited quite well. You know, people like Matthias Bogerts, who's making a name for himself. Edmondson, obviously scoring goals, hasn't been given a chance yet. But, you know, we don't see what Bielsa sees on the training ground, which is, I mean, you again come back to the Bamford and Nketiah debate, don't you? And Bamford must be, you know, there must be some reasons there that he's seeing as to why he goes with him. So I guess if you're in there, you know, like Jamie Shackleton is obviously making waves as well, being sort of a deputy in Adam Forshaw's role, unfortunate to get injured when he did at the same time as Adam. So, yeah, there's lots of talent in there, but I'm not sure Bielsa is the kind. I mean, we've seen before, if you're good enough, you're old enough, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Just a question for you about, I have a bit of a reputation of being a Forshaw stan, but we've been missing Forshaw for a few weeks now. We're also missing Pablo Hernandez. And I think the result of that, regardless of who the questions are about who you bring in, have been a change in style of play. We've been much less controlling in games. We've been much more counter-attacking. We've been a little bit more direct. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's just a natural development based on the players who are available? And do you think that when Forshaw and Pablo Hernandez are available again, that Bielsa will want to go back to that really controlling football that we saw at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's only natural that maybe if you take someone like Forshaw and Pablo out, because we all know the quality that he has, that you are maybe going to lose some skills that other players don't quite possess. Because if you had, you know, 10 Pablo Hernandez, Leeds would be 20 points clear at this point, you know. So it would be, you know, I think that, you know, Stuart Dallas has, I think, been quite, you know, unlucky because he's almost been a victim of his own versatility, because obviously he started the season so well at right back, again, not his position, but has now, because of these injuries, have been moved into midfield. And obviously he maybe doesn't quite possess the same skills or to the same level that maybe Forshaw would in that position. So I think it's only natural there's going to be a little bit of a drop-off. I mean, we're obviously starting to see players come back from injury. James Shackleton's obviously going to come back. Cooper, maybe, to an extent. Although I think Berardi's done very well when he's sort of been required to. So, yeah, I think there's definitely a train of thought to think that, you know, take certain personnel out, you know, you'll maybe see a drop across the board. But I still think they've sort of been managing games quite well. It's just, I think as well, they need to see a bit more from Helder Costa, you know, £15 million rated winger, really, and you're expecting him to come in the summer and maybe take games by the scruff of the neck a little bit. Obviously, he's taken a bit of adjustment to get used to the football and maybe up to the right fitness levels, but he was sort of someone that they brought in because they obviously knew they were going to have these sort of maybe months without Hernandez, given his age and little niggles that he might pick up. So I think across the board, really, there just needs to be a few more sort of taking the games by the scruff of the neck.
Do you see Tyler Roberts as someone who can kind of come in and be that kind of playmaker that we're missing when Hernandez is injured, or do you think it lies somewhere else? Or?
No, I definitely think he's got the quality. I mean, we saw last year in that 4-0 win at home at Elland Road, I think that's his best game he's played for the club since he arrived. And I think he certainly has that skill set in him. It's just whether at his age he can do it on a consistent basis. But again, someone else who has been sort of, just when he gets going, seems to break down with another little injury. And it almost feels a bit like that across a few players. Forshaw has had lots. Douglas, you know, obviously he's had lots of injuries since he joined the club and has now lost his spot to Gianni Alioski. So, yeah, I definitely think Roberts has got that skill set, and maybe that'll be a way to maybe try and get a bit more craft and skill out of people behind whoever's playing up front, whether it's Bamford or Nketiah.
Joe, before we get to a prediction for tomorrow's game, I'm going to have to put you on the spot. But first, a bit of news coming out this week on Bagdad Bunedja. I know that he's been linked a few times with Leeds over the course of the past few seasons. What's the likelihood of this happening? Have you heard anything regarding rumours, regarding reports that Bielsa looks like he might plump for him in January?
No, I haven't heard anything. To be honest, you could have made that name up. I would not have heard of that. We obviously know that if Bielsa wants anyone in January, they'll have to be well-versed in what he's doing. This was his argument last year, that he wanted people in, and people like Dan James that they went after, you know, people that will have an effect on the starting 11. He'll only go for people that he thinks will be able to dislodge people who are already starting under him. So I think it'll be very much the same, because he believes that, you know, people that they'd possibly look at will need 6 or 7 weeks to get up to speed. And by that point, you'd really get into the nitty-gritty, you know, when it's going to come down to that promotion chase. So anyone that they do look at will be someone who can immediately impact the starting 11. It won't be anyone who they're thinking, maybe not.
Lovely stuff, Joe. It is Sheffield Wednesday this weekend, of course. How do you see that one going?
You've got to back Leeds, haven't you? I think the football they play, obviously, Sheffield Wednesday have started very, very well. Gary Monk's, you know, someone that Leeds fans know very well. I was speaking to my colleague over at Sheffield Star, and you just said that, you know, they've taken like a duck to water under him, but they're very direct. So I expect Leeds to control the game quite a bit. And again, it's just going to come down to whether they can take their chances. I think, you know, Bamford will be leading the line. I hope that he gets a goal soon, because he needs a bit of pressure taken off him. But also, you know, because Leeds really just trying to assert themselves on that top two, because across the board at the moment, the Championship looks sort of quite a mediocre league, so it really needs someone to sort of take it by the scruff of the neck, and hopefully that can be Leeds. So, yeah, I think I've got to back Leeds. I'll go 2-0, and I'll go for a Bamford brace. There you go.
Oh, a Bamford brace. Lovely stuff. Cheers, Joe.
No problem.
That was Joe Urquhart of the Yorkshire Evening Post. Right, it's listener questions up next on the Leeds United Fan Show on Love Sport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It's the Leeds United Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, here with John McKenzie from All Stats, aren't we? Joined by Daniel Moroney as well. Before we get on to the listener questions, it is going to be a long evening at a sodden St Mary's for Southampton. Since we last gave you the report that Ben Chilwell had put Leicester 1-0 up, the Foxes are now leading 3-0 as Chilwell marauds down the line again with Harvey Barnes. They are so pacey on the tack, are Leicester, this season. Yet Ben Chilwell put the visitors ahead, and then an awful piece of defending from Jan Valeri allowed Harvey Barnes to break into Southampton's box, and Yuri Tielemans finished that chance off. Moments later, a lovely 1-2 between Perez and Tielemans saw Leicester go 3-0 up. Cut and thrust, I think I'm going to say here. Ryan Bertrand dismissed for the home side as well. So they're down to 10 men. Not looking good at what has swiftly become a sparsely populated St Mary's as well. It looks like a lot of them have gone home for an early bath on Friday night. Right, gents, we're going to move on to the listeners' questions, because we have plenty, a deluge of correspondence. Carrier pigeons have been flying into the headquarters to deliver these this week. And we're going to start with one from Dan Holdsworth. Hybrid, if you could splice two of the current lead squad to make a better player comprising of all their positive attributes, which two players would you splice and why? What a question.
Well, Patrick Bamford and Eddie Nketiah.
Job done.
Save us having to talk about them. And also, it'd be great if Patrick Bamford could score at the moment. So I think that's the perfect splicing. Other than that, I guess Alioski with a player who's got actual footballing ability would be nice. It would be nice to see maybe Alioski and Forshaw.
That's harsh.
Is that harsh?
I like it. Are you saying that? So then what attributes is Alioski bringing to the
He's
table?
He's very good off the ball, right. And he runs around a lot. His footballing decision making is Alexis Sanchez worthy. But yeah, he's useful player. He's had a good season, but he tends to do the exact opposite of what I would like him to do in every scenario. So
he's got the Duracell bunny nickname, isn't
it? Yeah, that's his right. Nickname.
Interesting back and forth with him and Gary Monk this week as well. Alioski basically coming out saying, I've got no idea who he is. Who is Gary Monk? I don't care who he is. I don't think about the coaches. And Gary Monk responding saying, well, I don't know who he is. I mean, for crying out loud. It's like a playground dispute. Although, if you're Gary Monk, you're kind of doing yourself down a bit there because you should be aware of opposition players, for crying out loud. Anyway, we'll talk about that a bit later on in the show. A question from Mike Shipley on Tyler Roberts. My regard for Tyler Roberts almost matches that of John McKenzie's for Forshaw. Particularly in Pablo's absence, would you forego Klitsch as a seamless cog in the system for the more unpredictable threat and flair that Roberts provides? Daniel?
I'm not sure I would forego Klitsch. I do like him quite a lot. But Roberts has got an excellent kind of touch in close quarters. He's he's a different kind of player to Hernandez. I think he's more of a kind of second striker, maybe you'd say, rather than the Hernandez tends to come deeper and get the ball, and Roberts has been doing that, but I don't think it's completely natural. I think he's better further forward. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I kind of agree with the premise of it. He's a very good player, and I'd like to see him in, kind of fitted into the team more if possible. But then when you've got Klitsch, Forshaw, Phillips, who do you leave
tough,
out in that?
Yeah, absolutely. Three at the back, gents. Do we create, score, or concede more goals playing with three at the back with wing backs? Or a traditional four, even though Phillips will drop in and usually make it a three. That's from Martin Earnshaw.
Yeah, we've had a few questions about back threes. But, I mean, the back three we play when the opposition have two up front. So it's basically as simple as that. And we talk about this quite a lot, that Leeds, when they're in possession, they tend to play a 3-3-1-3. Even if they start playing 4-1-4-1, one of the central midfielders will drop in between the centre-backs and the wing-backs will push up. And so you end up... The system is such that you pretty much end up playing the same way either way, really, even if you have a back four or a back three. And that's because Marcelo Bielsa utilises what's called positional play. So he likes his players to utilise space and manipulate space in the opposition. And the way that he likes doing that is by getting eventually a front five. So you'll have your striker and then either two of your wide players and a fullback and usually a midfielder pushing up, trying to split, because usually you're playing against a back four, right? So if you can find those spaces between a back four, then you'll have five areas to attack, really. Mm. So, yeah, the question, I would answer that question by saying it doesn't really make a difference, because in possession, we're always going to try and fulfil that shape with a back three anyway, give or take how far Calvin Phillips drops or not. So... I don't think there's really anything in it other than that.
Okay. Binky also asked a similar question, so I suppose you've kind of answered that with your answer there.
Yeah.
Matt Chapman, trust the process. There we go. It always gets into the show somehow. We do need to get that jingle sorted. Are you, Daniel, I'll come to you on this one. Are you starting to doubt your own faith in trust the system? Well, I suppose, I'm presuming you both believe in this.
Yeah, I'm more trust Bielsa. I'm a bit more of a, I think it's a byword for trust Bielsa, but I mean, it's same difference really, I suppose, but yeah.
Okay, I'm looking forward to this one, John.
Do you think that trust the process is under threat then?
I'm starting to say it, to be fair. People ask me about Leeds and I really go into the trust the process and the fact that you always bring it up, but I mean, what's your view? I mean, you've always been a staunch advocate for this.
Yeah, look, my position has always been with Leeds. We're creating enough chances for us to win games, and that's really all that matters. The difference, I suppose, is that when you have a player like Bamford who isn't finishing, people will then raise the question, well, does the sorts of metrics that you use to analyse elite footballers, does something change when you drop down a division? Is the Championship quite so regulated as maybe the Premier League is? Because in the Premier League, if Leeds were playing the way that they were playing, you would expect them eventually to hit the norm and start scoring as many as they should. And the question is whether or not Bamford, in some sense, breaks the system. I still don't think we're at a point where that's necessarily an issue. Partly because I think, and this is a question that other people have been asking, I think we've got a question coming up, is it's not, Bamford isn't the only person who's supposed to be scoring. If you look through our top scorers list, it's just there's a real dearth of goals, really. You're looking at people like Gianni Alioski and Pablo Hernandez being like in the top five with like a couple of goals between them. And so I guess the issue is this is a team-wide issue at the end of the day. And I just can't see that there's so many variables that things change. So I'm still trust the process. I'm just a bit annoyed and frustrated that it hasn't started coming around to us.
Annoyed about the process.
Yeah.
Well, you alluded to that question. That's from Jacob Thompson. He says, as Bielsa said, the lack of efficiency in front of goal fell on the entire team. Aside from whoever is playing as the number nine, who should be the biggest contributor of goals in this side? Good question.
Hernandez scored 12 last season, and he's been injured, so he's someone that can contribute more. Maybe it's a bit different with him kind of playing out wide. He doesn't get quite... He's kind of the man before, you know, he puts the man through to score, maybe is the argument. Click scored a lot last season. I think it was probably his best ever season for goals in his career. These players will kind of come to the party, I think, eventually. And then Janssen as well last season, he's the elephant in the room with his headed goals. So yeah, it should be coming from everywhere, really, because in theory in Bielsa's system there's always the overload, and there's always, it can be the fullback even. Yeah, we've seen Dallas score this season, and Alioski has got a few, I think, as well. So it needs to come from everywhere. So it's maybe falling unduly on Bamford really at the moment.
I think Jack Harrison is a name that pops into my mind, mainly because we play an asymmetric system, and Harrison has, I think, the most number of touches in the box for his position, and it's just rare for you to get so many touches in the box and not have a sort of goal tally that reflects that. And then obviously Helder Costa was our star signing this season, and he hasn't had the sort of game time that he would like, perhaps the fans would like, but we've not really seen that converted into anything like a goal production as well. So there are players that you can point to. I think that Bamford has become a bit of a scapegoat for a general malaise in front of goal.
Is he the elephant in the room, Pontus Janssen? Is that how we treat him? To be fair, I saw he put out a lovely tweet, didn't he, for the 100 years as well. Got a lot of good response to that. Kiko, this is from Jord, I'm presuming. How well is Kiko actually playing? We aren't conceding that many goals, but we don't seem to give away many chances for him to deal with either.
Yeah, it's the same old story, I think, with Kiko, is that in terms of our possession, he's brilliant. In terms of our build-up play, he's pretty brilliant, but he does have that tendency to strike the fear of God into the fans whenever he's expected to do anything that involves handling. There's the goal against Charlton where he sort of palmed it into Stuart Dallas and it went in, and that was their only real chance. And there's a few, you could, the fans have etched into their memory him coming for crosses and flapping a little bit. So in terms of his shot stopping, I think he's fine. In terms of his possession play, I think he's brilliant. But you know, he makes such calamitous errors that I think that fans sort of see that as just him being an incompetent keeper, and they, because we're struggling to score as well, those clangers become exacerbated, and so it doesn't really make for good watching.
Is he under as much pressure as well this season? I don't know. I mean, Bailey Peacock Farrell obviously went to Burnley, not the most brilliant goalkeeper in the world, but I guess more accomplished than Connor Ripley. Miazek is there as well at the moment. I don't know whether the case would be that Kasir is quite comfortable in his position and therefore isn't producing the form that perhaps he should be.
Well, we've got Meslier on loan.
He's injured, isn't he, at the moment, I think. So I don't think there's really much pressure on him at all, to be honest. Yeah. He's certainly like the starting goalkeeper, and then it feels like everyone else is like maybe a third string goalkeeper.
Exactly.
There was definitely a feeling after the playoff defeat that his time was limited at the club. You know, that was him gone, really, and especially the kind of money he's supposed to be on. But you do get the feeling that there's not really someone who's proven themselves yet in the first team who can kind of step up. So.
Indeed. Just quickly, 4-0 at St Mary's now. Iosi Perrott with his second of the game. Southampton 0, Leicester 4.
It was a lovely goal as well.
Was it?
A half volley at the back post. Yeah.
Good player, good signing. 30 million, which you think of in the grand scheme of things, is actually not that expensive nowadays. Right, this is from CBM Primate. Great name. Since Cooper has been injured, I feel Berardi has coped very well. Bit of discussion about that would be good. We still need Cooper back for height reasons, but Berra has stepped in well.
Yeah, you were talking about Berardi before, saying that you were quite happy with the way that he's played.
Yeah, I think he was probably man of the match against Birmingham. Although there's people who kind of are concerned about his height in, Blues had Jukovic, who was everyone's big fear. Well, there's always a big man at every team in the Championship. Everyone's like, if Berardi's playing, you know, he's going to be outjumped or whatever. But he seemed to kind of hold his own. The only difference was that was a three-man defence. But I'm very comfortable with him in that. The only caveat is when he's on the left side of the, if he's the left-sided defender, which is what he is when Cooper's not there. It does change. If we're playing out from the back, it does change the kind of angle he's passing out from, and it's it can get a bit dicey. But I trust him more than Ayling in that back three, really. I think he stepped up.
Berardi's very good on the ball, which is obviously why he's played as a centre back. And I think the problem has been I have no problem with playing Berardi when we have the sort of control that we had at the beginning of the season, where you're looking at very single figure chances from the opposition in terms of attacks. At the moment, we against Birmingham, I think we gave away more shots on target, or more shots in general than we actually took ourselves, which is very unlike us. And I think it was maybe 15 to us, 16 to them. And that's when I start worrying a little bit about Berardi. But that said, I have the same qualms with Cooper as well. But I have no problem whatsoever us playing Berardi, really. You mentioned the playoff semi-final before. I think a lot of Leeds fans got quite fed up with him there because of the red card he got in that game. And a lot of the Leeds fans sort of semi-blame him for that as well. But it's... the system, it's all about the system, and he works in the system, and Cooper works in the system. So I like they say, height does make a difference, but I have no problem with Berardi when Cooper's injured.
It is all about the system. Of course it is, John. Now, you alluded to this a bit earlier on in the answer. So did Joe as well, actually. But what's the trouble with Costa's form? This is from Johnny. Is he being asked to do things that he's not suited to? Daniel?
I think we've kind of been playing more direct without Forsher and Hernandez. There was a couple of times in the Preston game where it was definitely kind of lumped forward to him, and he didn't look comfortable being the kind of, you know, wide target man. I don't think he's been asked to do too much in a Bielsa system. I guess the other game was Millwall, where he kind of switched off for their second goal. He let his man go. I don't think he's been asked to do too much, really. I think he could do more, but then it's about playing kind of to his game, where it's, you know, he's out wide, you know, we're stretching the pitch as much as we can, and we're you know, playing quickly through the middle, and getting him in behind, really. I think that's his strength, and that's maybe not the way we've been playing.
Mm-hmm. I think part of the problem comes from the fact that he's been expected to replace Pablo Hernandez, and Hernandez has played as a sort of inside forward. And is very patient in holding the ball up and then cutting inside. A lot of Leeds fans want to see Costa come on for Harrison. Harrison plays as more of a classic winger. I think a lot of us think that position would suit him more, but that hasn't really been possible, partly because Bielsa feels beholden to Harrison. And Harrison has good games more often than he has bad games, I'd say. But I think until we have the ability to see that substitution made, we're not really going to know how useful Costa would be.
Top stuff, fellas. Enjoyed that.
Good.
Learned a lot about Leeds United there. The fountain of all knowledge, John McKenzie and Daniel Moroney, of course. Keep sending those questions in, guys, if you want them answered by the pair here. Next up, Nancy Frostick, Sheffield Wednesday writer for The Athletic, will be on the Leeds United Fan Show on Love Sport.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
It's the Leeds United Fan Show on Love Sports. I'm Matt Beadle, joined by John McKenzie of All Stats, aren't we? And Daniel Moroney is in the house with us this evening. We are going to look ahead to the clash with Sheffield Wednesday tomorrow now, gents. Now, since you reconvened together in the Championship in 2012, two draws, two wins, three defeats. So it's been relatively even, I suppose you could say.
I think I've been really impressed with Sheffield Wednesday this season, mainly because they had that big upheaval in the summer, and it was interesting to see how things were going to turn out. So I'm actually quite nervous about this game overall, really.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Ex-manager?
Yeah, I think Gary Monk's a decent manager, at least insofar as, I mean, he's not the most exciting manager, he's not the most creative manager, but he knows how to cause problems, and we're a team who are very susceptible to teams who know how to cause problems. So I do feel as though it could be a bit of a slog tomorrow.
A bit of a slog. Well, Nancy Frostick is on the line now, Sheffield Wednesday writer for The Athletic. Nancy, great having you on. How do you see this one going at the weekend?
I think it could be a close one, actually. I think Wednesday are looking a lot more compact and kind of a lot better organised than even last time they faced Leeds at the end of the season under Steve Bruce. So, it could be a tight contest, I think.
Hi, Nancy. It's John. Obviously, we know a lot about Gary Monk. How have you found Gary Monk so far?
I think he's gone over really well with the fans. I guess it was a bit of a tricky situation as Lee Bullen's kind of reign as interim came to an end, and a lot of the fans kind of really enjoyed the work that Lee had done, but then the results weren't quite coming in, and the performances were really flat. And I suppose Gary coming in has just given that new manager lift that obviously quite often happens, and he's brought a real meticulous attention to detail to everything, which I'm sure you guys will know about. You know, I think he brings it to every club he goes to, but it's definitely brought in some more organisation and just generally shored things up a bit. So I've been quite impressed with how things have gone so far, and they're grinding out results that I think, you know, even 6 months ago they wouldn't have won, like Tuesday night against Stoke. It wasn't a very good match, you know, it wasn't a very good performance overall from both sides, but Wednesday just managed to do enough to sort of steal the 3 points there, and that could be critical over the course of the season.
Hi Nancy, it's Daniel. Just following on from that, would you say that Monk's style is quite a pragmatic one? We remember him at Leeds for kind of a few games where we had 30% possession and still managed to eke out a 1-0, 2-0 win. Obviously, it's early days, but I just wondered if you'd kind of seen that in a few games he's had.
I think so, yeah. I mean, again, something that I have kind of picked up from speaking to various people about his time at Leeds is he's kind of doing a good job with what he has at the moment at Wednesday. And if you take the goal on Tuesday night as an example, you know, Morgan Fox played a long ball, pretty much route one up to Stephen Fletcher, who headed it on, mistake at the back from Stoke, and then Massimo Luongo slipped in and scored. So it's not necessarily, you know, tiki-taka, nice football, but I think my feeling in the stadium was, you know, getting the win is enough to keep the fans happy at this stage. So I suppose if you then put a run together, whether fans will ask for more in terms of the quality of the goals and the quality of the performance, I don't know. But I'd agree that's kind of what we've seen so far, but I don't think that's a bad thing always.
How do you think that the fans are looking at this fixture? I think it feels to us that Leeds a dangerous side, and that every team is worried about us. But we've obviously had a run where we're looking less and less dangerous. How would you say that the Sheffield Wednesday fans are feeling about this fixture?
I suppose they're probably looking at this as the first real test of the season, considering who they've come up against so far. Maybe Middlesbrough would have been previously that kind of threshold of this is a tough game, sort of no disrespect to the other teams they've played, but I suppose if you want to be pushing for the playoff places and pushing for promotion, then teams like, you know, Leeds and West Brom, who Wednesday playing in a couple of weeks, will be the teams you need to beat. So there's that, and then I think there is the expectation that Wednesday probably aren't going to play Leeds off the park, because again, how many teams are going to outplay Leeds this season in terms of the style of football that you play?
Nancy,
probably no one. But yeah.
I want to quickly ask you about this Alioski Gary Monk back and forth that has occurred this week. Did you hear directly from Gary Monk on this? Because obviously Alioski has said that he doesn't know who Gary Monk is. Gary Monk has sort of retorted with the fact that he's not really aware of Alioski. I mean, I know this is all sort of mind games ahead of the clash, but do you think either of them are perhaps wrong in what they said?
I was there when Gary was asked the question in the press conference on Thursday. And to be honest, he didn't give off the impression that he was particularly bothered that Alioski doesn't know who he is. It's kind of, I think he was more focused on the team performance, and obviously what will happen on Saturday will be the most important thing. But I suppose it is those interesting mind games and just trying to edge out the opposition, maybe in that respect. But I didn't get the impression that it was a big deal to Gary Monk at all. He was quite jovial about it in his response. So, I don't know if there's too much in it from a Wednesday end, I suppose. Whether there was intent from Alioski, I don't know. But, it was okay, I think.
All part of the fun, I think. Just to ramp up a bit of atmosphere ahead of the weekend. Nancy, it's been great having you on. I have to press you before you go. A prediction, if you will.
I am going to say 1-1.
Ooh, on the fence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or perhaps wise. Nancy, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks.
That was Nancy Frostick, Sheffield Wednesday writer for The Athletic. Of course, gents, there is a memorable occasion when Leeds travelled to Hillsborough in 1995. Someone scored their first goal for the club. Who was that man?
95. Yeboah.
Thomas Brolin.
Who do you think I am? Andrew Dalton.
Well, yeah, I know. He scored his first goal for the club. A 6-2 defeat to Sheffield Wednesday at Hillsborough in 1995. Who'd have thunk it, eh?
That's before I started supporting them.
It was a while back, yeah, absolutely. Gents, what did you make of Nancy's comments there and the game tomorrow?
Yeah, we know that Monk is going to be pragmatic. We know that Leeds struggle against teams that are pragmatic. I think it's either going to be a disappointing result or a 1-0 win to Leeds. And it's going to be more of the same. It's going to be one of those games where I think there won't be a goal in the first half, and it will be Leeds fans hanging on, and then whoever gets the first goal will dictate the way that the final result goes. So that's really negative.
Well, are you happy with that? Because obviously you're always very positive on the most part about Leeds, but to sort of get into this mindset where that's what it's going to be week in, week out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously not happy with that, but I think when it comes to teams like Sheffield Wednesday, you have to just accept that's the way they're going to play. That's the way a lot of teams are going to play against us, because, as Nancy says, you know, no team is going to come to play against Leeds and expect to outplay them. So and that's partly, I think, why Leeds struggle, because every team responds to them rather than the other way around. So, I mean, we talk about the system all the time, but the system functions partly because everyone else is going to play the same way against us anyway. So we sort of have to play the system anyway. But it would be nice to maybe get a couple of early goals and take the edge off. But we don't do that. We're not clinical enough. So you never know. Maybe tomorrow will be a quick clinical one. And like Joe Urquhart said, maybe there'll be a Patrick Bamford brace. I'll be surprised if that's the case. But there we go. Mm.
Daniel?
Yeah, it sounds like he's doing exactly what we expect him to do. And yeah, he had one over on us last year, I think, with the Blues did the double over us, which was annoying.
Score?
I'm going to go 2-0.
2-0 to Leeds United. Right, we're going to be reflecting on that game next week when we will be back at Friday, 8 p.m. Leeds United Fan Show on Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.